Okay, returning to Bava Kamma. I know you haven't left Bava Kamma, Hadron Noach, but I took the opportunity to learn some other things in the meantime. Itmar, Eftof and Daf Kav Beis and Aleph. We will try and pronounce the word incorrectly, even after Chesky did his best to confuse us. Itmar, Rav Yochanan Amar Isho Mishum Chitzav, Rish Lakish Amar Isho Mishum Mamono. I mean, Lechora, I think probably the best way of explaining the Machlokas is that we to be the Rambam, and we were to have a question, in what section of Nezikin would we put the concept of Eish? We put the Mazik of Eish. According to Rav Yochanan, where would we put it? And according to Rish Lakish, where would we put it? Exactly. According to Rav Yochanan, we put it in the world of Chovel Mazik. We're dealing with a subcategory of Adam, as opposed to Rish Lakish, that will put it in Hilchos Nizkei Mamon, along with Shor and Bor. That's where it really belongs. And Tosfos over here, when we always try when we have a machokas to ask ourselves what would be the default position, like which you know, if you woken up, Rav Klein's language, in the middle of the night and asked, you know, would you say Isho Mishum Chitzo? Or Isho Mishum Mamono, so Tosis over here, Dibra Maschil, Rabbi Yochanan, Mai Taima, Lo Amar Kirish Lakish, Tosis points out, Afagav the Darish Taima, Rabbi Yochanan Mikroi, even though the Gemara on the bottom of Daf Kaf Beis Amud Beis says that Rabbi Yochanan has a raya from the Psukim, Havile Ukme Kra Lidrosha Achrise. That the raya which is brought from the pasuk could also perhaps be used for a different drasha, lama disvara kirish lakish. Namely, the Tosa says that if he would be woken up in the middle of the night, he would say Rish Lakish is correct, that isho mishum mamono, not isho mishum chitzav. Why is that? Namely, why does Tosus view Rav Yochanan as Xera Sakasuv and Rish Lakish as a svara? What in other words, what is sort of off? What is out of the realm of svara in terms of saying isho mishum chitzav?
Chitz, you pull it back, you send it forward,
as opposed to
eish, you lit it over here, and then it went. The wind came and took it over there.
According to Tosa says, we learned back on Daf Gimel Amud Beis when we were trying to set up the toldos of the various avos, so we had to understand what's the core of the av. So the core of Karen is Kavanasa LaHazik. The core of Shein is Yesh Hanal LaHazeko. The core of Regel is Derech Hilcho. What's the core of Eish? Koach Acher Mu'urav Bo. So how can you speak about Eish as being Kocho if it's basically defined as Koach Acher Mu'urav Bo? That's pretty much what the Gemara says by us. Rish Lakish, Mai Taima Lo Amar Krav Yochanan, Amar lo, chitzav, as Benio pointed out, mikocho ka'azli. Hai, lo mikocho ka'azil. In other words, so Rav Yochanan has a tremendous handicap in terms of definition. So why really then did Rav Yochanan disagree with Rish Lakish? Sof, had it only been the pasuk, as Tosis points out, we could have found another drasha for the pasuk. So the Gemara asks for Rav Yochanan, "Mai taima lo amar kirish lakish, amar lach mamono isle mamasha ha lesle mamasha." That the alternative, says Rav Yochanan, to my approach is an impossible. It's impossible to go in the direction of Rish Lakish. Why? In other words, what are the two assumptions of Rav Yochanan? He has two assumptions. A,
the fire is not mamash.
That's the second one. What's the first assumption? The unwritten assumption.
Your mamon has to be...
That mamon hamazik has to have a mamasha, that's A, and B, that A is, that Eish is not mamasha. In other words, that when you put together those two, those two axioms or postulates, I don't know what to call them. You put together those two working assumptions, then Rish Lakish is impossible. How many assumptions does Rish Lakish have to disagree with Rav Yochanan?
Either one, right?
Rish Lakish has. So how did you understand Rish Lakish disagrees with Rav Yochanan? With which assumption is he disagreeing? What would be the easiest way of learning Rish Lakish? Then on what assumption would he disagree? Pashtus. Rav Yochanan states two things: A, a mazik, mamon a mazik has to have mamashus, and B, Eish doesn't have mamashus. What would be the easiest for him to disagree with? Since when does mamon a mazik have to have mamashus? Like where are you coming from? Where does it say anywhere in Bava Kamma that a mazik, mamon a mazik has to have mamashus? L'chora, that would be the easiest way of learning. However, I sent you to a Ramban. I know it was a needle in a haystack, but I tried to hone you in on the needle with a GPS of where the Ramban begins and where it ends. But I put it on the page to make it easier. V'yesh lomar shetamo shel rav. The Ramban is talking about the world of Bor, but he points out hoel v'lochiyev alav Torah elo lahavlo v'havla lesbe mashasha. Namely, we have over here the Ramban saying that Rav basically agrees with Rav Yochanan that a mamon hamazik needs to have some mamashus. And even if you want to disagree with Rav Yochanan in the world of Eish, mishum degachelet ikar v'isbe mashasha. In other words, within the Ramban, what's the machlokas between Rav Yochanan and Rish Lakish? They both agree that mamon hamazik needs mamashus. However, what does Rish Lakish tell us? What is Rish Lakish telling us? How does he view Eish? And I feel kishitim tzolomar hasam. Even if you want to hold by Eish that it's mamonahu, why would that be? Mishum de gachelas ikar v'yeshba mashasha, right? Avol havla v'adagav amonahu. That there's a difference between Eish and Bor. That Eish has a mamashus. What mamashus is there in Eish? The gachelas meaning, what would, in other words, in our it's Western. Where it's perspective. What over here brings the mamashus into the Eish?
Like when it's the fuel.
Fuel, exactly. In other words, that Eish is a consumption of fuel, and so true. The consumption itself, the flame itself, the shalhevet, that's Eimba mamash. But the fuel yeshba mamash, and that's already enough. It's that yitachein that Rish Lakish can, according to the Ramban. Rish Lakish can agree with Rav Yochanan. You're right. Every mamon hamazik has to have mamashus. But a flame has mamashus because of the fuel. In other words, you can't have flame without fuel. It's a necessary component. And the fuel has mamashus. And so as opposed to a boar, which is hevel at this point, we're assuming, but Eish already would be that which has mamashus. Okay? So Rav Yochanan has two assumptions. A, mamon hamazik requires mamashus. B, Eish does not have mamashus. So, easiest way of disagreeing with Rav Yochanan is saying, ma pit'om, that mamon hamazik needs mamashus, but the Ramban takes it in the direction, I can agree with you. Rav Yochanan, you say, I could agree with you, Rav Yochanan, that mamon hamazik needs mamashus, but we don't. But we have mamashus in Eish via the fuel. Okay. If, however, we learn the machlokas kipshuto, in other words, not like the Ramban, that the machlokas is, does mamon hamazik require mamashus or not? The Rav Yochanan says mamon hamazik requires mamashus, and Rish Lakish says it doesn't. In other words, what would be a very, very powerful proof for Rish Lakish that mamon hamazik does not require mamashus? That's a detail, but before that, we have a much more powerful proof. Can you bring me a proof from the world of the Arba Avos Nezikin that Maman HaMazik does not require Mamashus. In other words, sort of the reverse of what the Ramban is saying over here. Let's look in Tosfos. Tosfos, the Ramaska Mamano. Mamano is be Mamasha, af al gav de bor, les be Mamasha. One of the Avos and Zikin is bor. And bor les be Mamasha, and Rav Yochanan certainly does not disagree that bor is an avmazik. How can Rav Yochanan set up a principle that Mamon needs Mamashas if we have a bor that doesn't have Mamashas? That's a powerful question of Tosfos. What are Tosfos' two answers? Let's look together. Mikol makom, answer number one. Mamono ke'en chitzav shedarko leilechu l'ahazik isbe mamashus. What does Tosfos do to neutralize the question of bor? What two categories of mazikim does Tosfos create and say that mamashus is only a requirement in one of those two categories?
Stationary and moving.
Now we have a mamon hamazik, which is a kumva asay, which is an active, which is what we'll call a maisa mazik. There's a maisa mazik. And so in that realm, when you have a kumva asay, where you have a mamon hamazik, which is active, there you need mamon hamazik. There you need mamashus. There you need something that has reality. Sure, has reality. Right, and so that's why Rav Yochanan says we can't understand Eish as that category. However, in the Shevi Al Ta'ase, in the realm where you have mazikim that are stationary, there's no need for mamashas. Okay, so you know it's that Rav Yochanan sort of built a framework that would exclude Eish from being mamon hamazik. That Eish is a maisim nezek. It's moving. It's kumva asay, and it doesn't have mamashas according to Rav Yochanan. What's the second answer? Inami bor nami chashiv lei isbe mamasha da ayide kriya sabor mishtane mamashas shel hakarka v'naase chagal. What's the second answer of Tosfos? In other words,
the board doesn't have a mamashus, but the karka does. And the change in the karka is a change in the right, meaning the board does have a mamashus.
Right. In other words, just like we pointed out that according to Rish Lakish, you could speak about Eish as having mamashus because of the fuel. So in Bor, you could speak about it as having mamashus because of the change in the karka, namely that there is a process of digging the bore. You can't have a bore without it being dug, and since the digging is changing the shape of the land, that's already called yeshba mamashus. However, there is a third teretz over here, which I think is perhaps gives a little more clarity to the world of bore than Tosfos. And once again, Tosfos offers chilukim. Tosfos says, you can't ask a question from Bor because Bor is stationary. Or you can't ask a question from Bor because Bor goes through a process of being created. But each of those is sort of an external chiluk. It's not something an internal chiluk. But look at Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz. Again, I'm quoting from the Shita because that's what's in the Bar Ilan. Mamono isbe mamasha. V'im tomar l'man do amar Bor. Shechiyeva alav Torah lahavlo hare lesbe mamasha. A bor is a cavity. A bor lechore is a vacuum. It doesn't have mamashas. V'yeshlamar points out Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz shekosle habor mikan umikan sheyesh behem mamash heim gormim hahevel. What over here is Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz pointing out in terms of, it's a third answer. What gives the boar its mamashus?
It's environment.
It's boundaries. Namely that a boar is not a hevel. A boar is an enclosed hevel. A boar is a limited a limited vacuum, a limited atmosphere, which is surrounded by walls. The walls are as much a part of the bor as the hevel, and the walls have mamashas. Namely, rather than going in the direction of Tosfos, of making distinctions that are somewhat external, right? That the bor is shevi al tase. Okay, it is shevi al tase. Who says that's relevant to the world of mamashas? Or that the bor has to go through a process of digging, of creation. Okay, but who says that's relevant to the process of mamashas? But here, within Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz, he's saying that the bor has mamashas. That the kasha was, a bor is hevel, it doesn't have mamashas. Correct. But there's another part of the bor which has mamashas. You can't only use half a definition. A bor is hevel enclosed by kotalim. It's hevel enclosed by walls. Yes?
How would you respond to the Ramban saying that meaning the gachelis of the ish? Doesn't the ish need the gachelis as much as the bor needs the walls for the hevel? So why is ish less?
No. Fuel is a necessary is a condition for fire. The walls are part of the definition of the bor. That's the, in other words, it's taking it one step closer. In other words, the fact that the fuel is like a tnai kodim lamasa. You need it as a condition. But over here, according to what the Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz says, kosrei habor mikan umikan heim gormim mahevel. The hevel is not a hevel standing on its own. It's a hevel that is limited by these walls. Yes.
I was just saying the last Mishnah in Hakonis, right?
Yes.
Relates to an ish that doesn't have a gacheles, and right, nobody would say that like. Right, that shows clearly that the gachelas isn't a necessary reality to create the mosque of Eish. It's practically that's what the Ramban's talking about. It's not a necessary fact, but you can't have a bor without walls.
Correct. In other words, the gachelas is more similar to the tutei rutsim of Tosfos. That it's something that is in the process rather than within the definition. This seder. Let's try and now just deal with to flesh out the shita of Rish Lakish. Rish Lakish says, "Isho mishum mamono." What exactly does that mean? What does mamono come to exclude? Here. We have a machlokas between Rashi and Tosfos. Let's look at Rashi. Mishum mamono, kishoro, uboro, shehiziku, v'kasalka daitach, at this point in the sugya, di'ika beinayagon shehidlik begachelet she'eno shelo. Dile Rav Yochanan chayev, d'chitzavein, v'Rish Lakish patur d'lav mamonohu. Namely, how, if you were translating, you were Aryeh Kaplan, you're translating the Gemara into English. I don't know how, it's Schottenstein does, but how would you translate mamono into English according to Rashi? What would you stress over here if you wanted to put something in bold letters?
Ownership.
Hmm?
Ownership.
Ownership, exactly. Shoro, right? Possessive. His shor, boro, his bor. So also mamono, his mamon, that there has to be legal ownership of the mazik, and therefore, if the individual lit this fire, so that is mamono. But Masha'en Ken, according to Rashi, what Rish Lakish would be excluding would be a fire that had been lit by another individual. That is not mamono. That is out, in other words, as opposed to Rav Yochanan, it's irrelevant who the arrow belongs to. The ikar is that the person's putting the arrow into motion. According to Rish Lakish, the most important factor is one of ownership. Look at Tosfos, Isho Mishum Mamono, Klomar, and in the moment you have a Klomar in Tosfos, that he is coming. Yes?
Just on that, what, is Rashi saying that if the guy owned the arrow and someone else shot it, what makes ownership? The ownership of the actual Bilus or the sending the arrow?
Ownership is legal ownership. If this person were to go to court and ask, to whom does this belong? So according to Rav Yochanan, that's an irrelevant factor. We don't care who the arrow belongs to. As long as a person put that arrow into motion, that's called Isho Mishum Chitzav. And so we don't care who the fire belongs to. But according to Rish Lakish, we do care very, very much. It has to be his fire. Like the shore has to be his shore. If it's a shore of Hefker, then the person's not responsible. He's only Chayev if it's his shore. So he's only going to be Chayev if it's his boar, or he's only going to be Chayev if it's his Eish. Right? Mashen Ken Tosas points out, Klomar, Chiyuv Mamono Yeshlo, V'lo Sheyehe Ha'esh Shelo. The Afilu Hidlik Be'esh Shel Acher Chayav, Kedeeshkechon Be'perek HaKones. So according to Tosfos, what is the important factor over here? That he is, in other words, that he in some way created, right? This hezek, he is responsible. He is, in other words, it's not a question of his ownership; it's his responsibility. Where does this machlokas Rashi and Tosfos begin with? We're sort of seeing over here a reflection of something that has a, you know, where it's a very, very strong anchor. And this is like a, you know, it's a wave coming out of this anchor. Where does all this begin? We would have a machlokas whether you need ownership or it's enough to have responsibility. We go back to the Mishnah. Go back to the first Mishnah of the Masechta, where the Mishnah wants to sum up the Avos Nezikin. So our girsa is Hatzada Shava Shebahem, the common denominator of Shor, Bor, Mav, and Hever, Shedarkon Lehazik, Ushmirasan Alecha. What other girsa exists in the Mishnah? Darkon Lehazik, U Mamoncha, Ushmirasan Alecha. That's the girsa which is found in the Rif and it's found in the Rush. According to the Rashba, where else is that girsa found? Who else has that girsa? Who else has the girsa darkon lahazik umamon choshmeras analecha according to the Rashba? Let's look at the Rashba on the first Mishnah. Darkon lahazik umamon choshmeras analecha. Kain piresh Rashi zal. Kain piresh Rashi zal. In the Rashi of the Rashba, it's not an our Rashi. But in the Rashi of the Rashba, we had the Girsa Umamoncha. The problem, of course, is that would explain Shor and maybe even Eish. But what's the problem with that Girsa? Which of the Avos Nezikin appears not to be a person's Mamon?
Himself.
Well, himself is the question. Bor, Birshus Harabim. Bor Bishus Sarabim, how is that Mamono? So the Rashba explains according to the Girsa, Bor Name Afagav de Eno Mamono, Kari Le Mamoncha, Mishum She Aso Hakosuv Kimamono, Kedamrinan Shne Dvarim She Enon Birshuso Shel Adam, Vaasoan Hakosuv Ki Igu Hen Birshuso, Kain Pirish Rashizo. That Rashi, according to the Rashba, understood that the Gzera Sakosuv of Bor is that we have a Baal Habor, is that the Torah takes a person who is not the legal owner, and the Torah says, you are the legal owner. Namely, that the Torah expands the definition of legal ownership to include the Baal Habor. And the Rashba himself disagrees. The Rashba says, Ve'eno machuvar, mikom makom ein likro samama. In other words, you don't see from that Gzera Sakosuv that it's Mamon. What do you see from the Gzera Sakosuv, according to the Rashba? Shnei dvarim eno birshuso shel adam, V'asan ha'kasuf ki'ilu hein birshuso. What does birshuso mean, according to the Rashba? That you're chayav, you're responsible for them, right? That you have responsibility. In other words, what Tosus calls chiyuv mama. Namely, this is what the Rashba is saying. Look in Tosus and Daf Gimel Amud Beis, in the middle of the page, umamoncha lav dafka gabe bor lav mamonahu v'chein gabe esh. Right, the pshita dim hidlik edisha shel chavera beishal acher. Namely, so we have over here a machlokas between Tosus and the Rashba on one hand, and Rashi, according to the Rashba, on the other hand, as to whether Bor is Mamono, and then we would have the Girsa and the Gemara in the Mishnah, Darkon Lahazik, Mamoncha Ushmirasan Olecha, that according to Rashi would include Bor, or no. The Girsa and the Mishnah is only Darkon Lahazik, Ushmirasan Olecha, you're responsible for them, because Bor is not your Mamon. And so it plays out in our sugya. How do we understand isho mishum mamono? According to Rashi, this is a hemshech of the Mishnah, right? That you need legal ownership. You have legal ownership on shore. From Xera Sakosuv, you have legal ownership on bor, birshuso. And therefore, the esh also has to, you have to have legal ownership. It has to be your fire. Mashenken, according to Tosfos, in other words, there is no need to have legal ownership. We have a different gears in the Mishnah that leaves out the word mamoncha. And so according to Tosfos and the Rashba, how do they understand the Avos Nezikin? And how many tracks do you have? According to Rashi, all the Avos Nezikin, Arba Avos Nezikin, all of Niske Mamon, there's one track, ownership, legal ownership. That includes Karen, Shane, Regel, Bor and Esh, right? All of those you have legal ownership. According to Tosus and the Rashba, it's true that in Karen, Shane, and Regel you have legal ownership, but what do you have in Bor and Esh? You have Chiyuv Mamon, right? You have a responsibility because you're creating the Mazik. And we have over here a different track. We have two tracks. We have one track, you're chayev, because it's your money, and the other track, you're chayev, because you created it. And, in other words, Tosus agrees, had we had in the Mishnah only shore, then we would have had mamoncha. But because, in other words, we have more than shore, we also have bor and esh, we have to set up another track. What did you see on Daf Nunvav Amud Beis? Let's move over to Daf Nunvav Amud Beis. There, the Gemara speaks about a mazik called Ma'amid Behemas Chaveiro Al Kamas Chaveiro. I take someone else's animal and I put his mouth over the food of a third party. In other words, I'm Reuven. I take Levi's shore and pull Levi's shore over to Shimon's food. And in other words, what? So the Gemara says chayev. Chayev for what? What is the av mazik over here? What does Tosa say by us? What's the av mazik? Av al pi she'ein behema shelo. And we're dealing over here with what av mazik? Shein. Chayev mitam shein v'rego. Just a minute. Shein and rego, according to Tosas, was the track of Mamono. So what does Tosus continue? Af al gav dichsiv bi'iro kedidei chashiva ho il v'hu asa kamo madlik pishtano shel chaveiro b'neiro shel chaveiro. Now what is Tosus over here telling us about the two tracks that we've seen? We saw a track of Mamon that included Karen, Shane, and Rego. And we saw a track of creating a mazik that included Bor and Esh. What is Tosus telling us over here? That second track can also apply to Shane. Namely, that we have within the world of Mamonos, within the world of Nezikin. Oh, the problem is always post-Purim spiel. You always are self-conscious doing anything that was pointed out in the Purim spiel. Okay, so I will take the red. Yeah, okay. That we pointed out that within the Mishnah we have Avos Nezikin, according to Rashi, we We have a Tanai of Mamoncha. That's the Girsa of Rashi according to the Rashba. He has this Girsa. So this is a condition, the Tanai, that Mamoncha is a Tanai in Keren, Shane, Regel, Bor, and Esh. It's a condition for all of these to be Chayav. It has to be legally yours. So Keren, Shane, Regel are legally yours because they belong to you. Similarly, Esh belongs to you. Bor, we have a Gzeres HaKosuv. Shnei Dvarim She'enam Birshusa Shel Adam V'asan Kilu Hein Birshusa. They are all considered to be Ba'alut Mamoni. When we moved over to the Avos Nezik and according to the Rashba and Tosfos, so we saw that we have two tracks. We have a track of Mamoncha, that's not in the Mishnah, but we have this track of Mamoncha, which is Keren, Shane, and Regel. And then you have another track of what they call Chiyuv. This is Ba'alut. And we have another track of Chiyuv Mamon, what we call Achrayus, responsibility, Yatzar HaMasik, you created the Nezek, that applies to Bor and to Esh. We move over to Daf Nun Vav Amud Beis, and over there, Tosfos tells us that in the world of Shane, we also have these two tracks. You could be your track, that is, you have Ba'alut, or Shane can also be the track of Chiyuv Mamon. You take someone else's animal and put it on food. We have two tracks within Shane, yes?
Can it be that in this case, the chiyuv, like the taking him and causing the responsibility,
yes,
that creates a certain bias on this?
But for that, you need a gzeres hakasuv. We don't have a gzeres hakasuv by Shen, right? And we have a gzeres hakasuv by Bor. The board, in other words, that Shnei Dvarim Einam Birshusa Shel Adam Asan Ki Ilan, if the Torah were to tell us that shame that doesn't belong to you is Chayav, we would have such Gzeres HaKosuv. We don't have the Gzeres HaKosuv. So Tosfos sets up, it's a separate track. What does the Rashba do over there? Let's look at the Rashba. Hama mid behema schavero al kama schavero chayav. Afa pi sheina behema shalo. Kevan sheheemida al hakama harehu ki ila. Ma'achila biyadayim.
Seems like he moves it to other mamas.
Nachon. He says this is not shame. This is not shame. He points out, Umina ilu hemid behemto afilu behemat chavero aperos chavero afilu birshus harabim chayev. Shane's pater birshus harabim. That what the, in other words, over here, that what Tosfos does is say this on Tosfos and Daphne government day, he sets up shame that we have two tracks within shame. The Rashba says nothing doing. The Rashba says that on Daf Nun Vav Amud Beis we have other mamazik. We have other mamazik. That, in other words, that my nafgamina, whether I'm mazik with an arrow or I'm mazik with another behemoth's mouth. In other words, it's simply a kli. It's a tool that I'm using to be masik with, yes?
The Rashba doesn't necessarily disagree with Tosfos, like, theoretically. It just, in this case, he doesn't need to go there.
But he disagrees with Tosfos. He says that you'd be chayav birshus harabim. Going to Tosfos, you potter.
Right, I mean, in this case, the Rashba says, this is something else, this is other masik. But he could still agree with Tosfos' point that you could approach Shane from two tracks. If you have a situation where you weren't buying the behema, but you took the behema and you avoided the kinyan and you brought it to a place where it could eat somebody else's stuff or it didn't have to eat somebody else's stuff, then Tosfos would still say you'd have an issue but even though it's still not your animal, you'd still be chayiv. Rashba could say that too, even mm-hmm. though it wouldn't be the mamonski in that case. We don't know what the Rashba would say.
Correct. Okay, we don't know, but we have no proof that he has a second track by Shane.
Right. We can't pigeonhole him and not have.
Correct. Okay. So simply going back, in other words, I can let Benayahu sort of finish my comments over here. What appears is if we view this machlokas between Rashi and as opposed to the Rashba and Tosos. Again, they may or may not disagree in terms of whether these tracks are interchangeable. But the fact that over here we have two tracks, as opposed to Rashi having one track, going back to our classic Chakira, why, on what basis is the Torah Machayev, a person when his animal does damage, right? So what was our basic Chakira? Is it
Achiyev
Shmira, or is it
the damage on you, to your animal?
That we view the animal as an extension of you, right? Etc. So within Rashi, it appears that we're dealing with the animal, right? In other words, the mammon, the fact that it's yours, your chayev on yourself and anything that belongs to you. Mashen came within Tosos and the Rashba Yitachen. We have over here these two tracks, not one or the other. It could be both. It could be that Karen, Shane, and Regel would be because it belongs to you. Mashen came when we move over to the world of Bor and Esh. Maybe that would be more of a chiyuv shmira, right? That the more of the achrayus that we have. In other words, that it brings us back to the chakiras that we had within the first perek. Okay, one more chakira, that would be in terms of the ukimta. Right, we have over here a world of esh. We can set up esh in a number of situations, and we'll see the Gemara is going to deal with these situations. Let's go from from a theoretical point of view. In other words, that you can have a fire where you would simply take a match, right, and light it, and go over to someone's house and burn down his house, right? Take a Molotov cocktail and you throw it at someone's car and it goes up in fire. That's one type of esh. Then you have an esh where you light a fire in your backyard and then you walk away from it and the wind blows it into your neighbor's backyard and burns down his house. And then you have an esh, a third possibility, where there's a storm of lightning. And lightning ignite something in your yard and you simply ignore it and then the wind comes and takes that to someone else's house and burns it down. The question is, in which of these cases do we have a machlokes, Rav Yochanan and Rish Lakish? In which of these situations, when we speak about Isha Mishum Chitzav, Isha Mishum Mamono, where is this machlokes if I give these three situations? One is where I simply go and burn down someone else's house. The second is where I light a fire in my rishus and the wind carries it to someone else's rishus. And the third is that I didn't light the fire. There is a fire in my rishus, but I ignore it. And I walk away and then and the wind then comes and blows it away. So what do we see from Rashi? When we look at Rashi on our sugya, what case is Rashi speaking about as being a machlokes, Rav Yochanan and Rish Lakish? What? Rashi says, Hasholeach es habe'era, and then he goes on and explains it a little farther down. Right? Ha lav mikocho, de'esh me'eleha holeches v'doleches v'doleches l'mei rachok. In other words, Rashi says that our whole machlokes between Rav Yochanan and Rish Lakish is a case where a fire began in my rishus and then moved to someone else's rishus. There I have a machlokes, is that mishum chitzav or mishum mamono? But what if I were to simply go and throw a Molotov cocktail on someone else's car? What?
That's what it sounds like,
chitzav. That's everyone agreed that's chitzav. That's what Rashi seems to say. No?
Why does he call it a shaleach as a neighbor, though? In other words, isn't
shaleach
as a
neighbor? That's what the Chumash says. He's quoting Vashilach
as a neighbor.
Vashilach as a
neighbor is not talking about Eish. Vashilach as a neighbor is talking about your animal. Vashilach says, Kisei Tzei Eish, when Eish will go out.
Very, very good. Exactly. In other words, that we're... You're right. In other words, that Rashi over... You're 100% correct. Rashi over here is not playing with the psukim, but he is using the terminology of the psukim to deal with that which is moving on its own. We pointed out is even when the behemoth walks on its own, that it simply it's moving. We're dealing with an esh which is moving from your rishus. We're dealing over there with a regel who's moving from your rishus to another rishus, right? And so, or a shein which starts in your rishus and says that's the case over here where we're dealing with this isho, in other words, which began in your rishus and moves to someone else's rishus, right? That's dolek the meirachok. That's where we have the machokus between Rav Yochanan and Rish Lakish. But l'cha'ora, had a Molotov cocktail been thrown, then I think that everyone would agree that's chitzav. Right? That there wouldn't be a machok. The only question is, when it goes on its own, how do we view it? But when you're throwing it to someone else's rishus, that l'cha'ora, everyone would agree, be chitzav. So then we have a machokas then in the case of the what we classically called the Koach Acher Me'uruf Bo, right? That it's lit, you light it in a fire in your rishus, and then it goes on its own, okay, Koach Acher Me'uruf Bo, to someone else's rishus. Is that still kocho, or does that turn in now into a world of mamono? That's the machok, according to Rashi, yes?
And what about the third case?
And what about the third case? Which rishon brings in the third case? Look at Tosos. Dibur Hamaskil Isho Mishum Chitzav Lo Shiyavir Ba'atzmo Ha'esh Ela Kol Makom Shepasha V'lo Shamar Gechalto Chitzav Ninhu. That this is Tosos over here is Machadish to us that even a case where, in other words, you had nothing to do with the fires being lit, just that you did not do anything to put it out, that's also considered, according to Rav Yochanan, chitzav. What over here is the chiddush? L'chora, what is missing over here totally? And again, chitzav means what?
An action. You didn't do an action.
Kocho. Chitzav generally we view as an extension of you. But over here, you didn't do anything.
This is lo shayah.
Hmm? Lo shiyavir ba'atzmo ha'esh. You don't need isha mishum chitzav is not in a situation where you lit it. Not actually, we say not only in that situation. Ela kol makom shepasha v'lo shamar gechalto chitzav ninhu. That
ba'atzmo is like etzem shel ha'esh, meaning the esh lit itself. I thought, meaning it's not the right. Not that the lightning struck and started the fire, because then there wouldn't be an issue. Rather, it's based where he was posheya.
Yeah, he was posheya. Exactly. In other words, that we're being mechayev the individual for his passive negligence.
But
it doesn't mean that there's necessarily active. In other words, we're not dealing over here necessarily where he actively is moving the fire by himself. Lo shiyavir ba'atzmo ha'esh. He's not actively throwing the Malakoff cocktail. He's not actively, you know, where it's involved in the movement. In other words, we don't have his participation actively. Even if he is posheya, still we're going to view that as isho mishum chitzav. That is a chiddush that Tosus is telling us. In other words, that lechora, what Tosus is doing over here is redefining isho mishum chitzav. I mean, without Tosfos, in other words, without this chiddush that it applies even if the person had no active involvement, what would we have said is the halachic concept of isho mishum chitzav without this Tosfos? Namely, that it would only apply in a case where you lit a fire. And then, you know, you lit a fire when there was a wind, that the Ruach Metsuya that was blowing, and then let the Ruach Metsuya take the fire from your property to someone else's property. Right? That there, Rish Lakish says, that's Mishum Mamono, and Rav Yochanan says, Mishum Chitzav. What, in other words, that how what would be the conceptual understanding? How is this a chetz? In other words, what is the comparison between this and shooting an arrow? Yeah. So, in other words, that we have a halachic reality that just as when you shoot an arrow, that's considered to be an extension of you. So also, if you light a fire under the circumstance when there's a wind blowing, that is also an extension of you. Namely, that Isho is Kocho. It's an extension of your Koach. Even though there's a Koach Acher Me'uriv Bo, where this is, again, this is the Achilles heel of Rav Yochanan, but Rav Yochanan is telling us that we view that as Kocho. We view it as Kocho. As long as you began the process, we're going to view the rest of the process as being an extension of you, as being stemming from your koach. Isho mishum chitzav. That chitzav is not only when you put all the power into the arrow, but when you begin the process by lighting the fire in a place where it's going to spread naturally, that's also called kocho. But if we're going to move it over to a case where you didn't even light the fire, simply that the fire is there and you're not putting it out. In other words, you have a fire in your property and there's a wind blowing and you know that fire is going to move from your property to someone else's property, but you just decide to ignore it, to call that chitzav. What does that mean? In other words, it's not the same as what we just said. In other words, it's not as though you began a process and we're calling the process all one kocho, in other words, that we're redefining or halachically defining reality. What are we doing in this case? We are saying, just as a person is chayav on kocho, so also he is chayav on esh. In other words, we're not saying that esh is kocho. We're saying that we have over here we're taking the dinim of kocho and applying them to esh. Kocho is, you know, of a person is nezek shalem. This is nezek shalem. Kocho is chayav even in rishus harabim. This is chayav even in rishus harabim. That we're dealing over here with an application of the dinim of kocho to the world of esh. In other words, so if we understand Isho Mishum Kocho as a halachic definition of reality, it would be very hard to get the Tosfos's Chiddush. If we define it as a halacha, in other words, a halachic framework, we're not changing reality. We're simply saying halachically we're going to call Eish Kocho. That's how we're going to give it the definition. Maybe just to sharpen the distinction over here. You know, it's my humble opinion. This is the way Ruchenstein understood as well, or my humble opinion, which is probably based on Rav Ruchenstein's understanding, is that when Rav Yochanan says, Isho Mishum Chitzav, I'm putting the dots in so we shouldn't misread it, Isho Mishum Chitzav, that it could mean a Metzius or a Din. The Metzius is that we say that Eish is a Hemshech Kocho. That, in other words, that we view fire as an extension of his koach. He's taking advantage, we spoke about this in the run, the laws, he's taking advantage of the laws of nature, and so he's responsible for the law, as long as he began the process, so the continuity is still considered to be kocho. Or we'll say that kamo she adam chayav al kocho, kach chayav al isha. That we have over here halachic. Rabbi Yochanan is telling us a halachic equation. That just as a person is chayev on his koach, even though it's beyond him, so also he's chayev on his eish, even though it's beyond him. So one nafgamina would be im hu lo hidlik eva pasha. Right. So to call that a hemshech of his koach. What koach? There's nothing there. To say that he's chay, just like he's chayev on his koach, he's chayev on his eish. That would make sense if he, you know, whereas he's chayev on his koach because of his lack of responsibility, lack of care, lack of taking into account the other. So also he's chayev on eish for that same reason. Okay? Od nafkamina. This principle of Isha Misham Chitzav, is it only in the world of Nezikin, or is it a Din B'chorah Torah Kula? What did you see in the Mukhe Yosef? He wants to apply it to what realm?
Shabbos.
To Shabbos. Do we have a Din of Isha Misham Chitzav in Shabbos? Or I sent you to a Tosos in Sanhedrin, who deals with Isha Misham Chitzav in terms of... Not only din, well, okay. In words, this din, which we have, is this a din in Nezikin? Now, Nezikin, the Rambam has Sefer Nezikin. What does he include in Sefer Nezikin? Nizke Mamon, Chovel Umazik, what else?
Rotzeach.
Right? So is Isha Misham Chitzav a din in Nezikin in Nizke Mamon, Chovel Umazik, and Rotzeach? Or is it a din, b'chol ha-Torah kula, that would include Shabbos, and over there, I just pulled out, shchita. What if you're shochet via isho mishom chitza, right? That something falls from your hand, and it's like avno sakino maso shenaflu, in other words, then we say that's a tolda of esh. If you're shochet with a tolda of esh, would that be chayev? So if Isha Misham Chitzav Tosa says that would already be considered to be a Maisa Gavra. Nu, what do you say? If Eish B'mitzius is considered to be an extension of the person, it could be Kol HaTorah Kula. If we're saying we have a Din, just like your Chayev on Kocho, so also your Chayev on Isho,
so that could be a Din
only in the world of Nezikin. You know, there's no reason to have it expand any further. Okay, so all of these then would be the background of this machlokes between Rav Yochanan and Rish Lakish. Okay, yes.
Within this machlokes, how do we understand mishum chitzav? In other words, it's not
klomar. Right, clearly, in order to say it's mitzius, I think would fit in nicer, but then it wouldn't help us with Tosis's case. Right? In other words, the Metzias would help us with Tosis in Sanhedrin. The Metzias will help us with the Mukhe Yosef. But it's very hard to put the Tosis' case in the world of Metzias. And therefore, we would have to say, Isho, you know, Mishum would be the halachic structure. In other words, the halachic structure of Chitzav will apply to the world of Eish. That a person is responsible for his... Shmira on himself, or you know, or it's for.
I think we've all been here long enough to be able to say it could be both.
Nachon, 100%. It could very well be both, yeah. and that's correct. In other words, it's not that Tosfos would exclude this possibility. You could have two tracks within Isho. Okay, at this point in the Gemara now is going to bring case after case after case. That would appear to be like one of the two sides. Generally, the whole Gemara is basically going in one direction and say, no, we can set up a new Kimta to explain it like the second side. Okay? And this will take us until the two dots on Daf. There are two dots, yeah. The two dots on Daf Kaf Gimel Amud Aleph. So learn Gemara and Rashi, right? Until Daf Kaf Gimel Amud Aleph, till the two dots. Now that we have the conceptual framework of Rav Yochanan and Rish Lakish, in terms of the svaros, in terms of the hekef, the the expansion in terms of the in terms of how Eish fits back into the original Mishnah of Echulei. Now that we have the conceptual framework, now let's work through the cases that we have, simply Kipshuto. But we're going to work on together in terms of more Iyun would be the Tosfos Andaf Kaf Beis Amid Beis. Tosfos Hayigedi Dip Kafuslo and the Tosfos Bigedi Dechad Va'Avta Dechad. Those two Tosfos, but Dibur Maskil Bahoya and Dibur Maskil Bigedi, that will be the Iyun part of the Shir. You'll see there are machlokos between the Rashbam and Rabbeinu Tam, between the Riva and Rabbeinu Tam. Very, very basic machlokos. Those who learn ksuvas, at the end of Tosfos Bigedi Dechad, there is a little letter that sends you to Ayin Tosfos Biksuvas Lamed Amid Beis. Tosfos, it's a long Tosfos that begins Lamed Amid Beis and goes to Lamed Aleph Amid Aleph. And what we need is the part that's on Daf Lamed Aleph. Okay, I'll write up a page of Mar Makomosh, but that's basically the direction in which we'll be going. Okay? Beseder. Everyone who's here, I return you Bechinas. Thank you very, very much for the Chazara. It's much easier to mark a Bechina with 11 questions than 21 or 22. Sometimes I tend to forget these things. You only give a Bechina 3 times a year. So I learned from the first Bechina not to make the same mistake twice. So thank you very much. But in other words, Baruch and everyone showed that they reviewed the material. I appreciate it. This is okay. So we have.